Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you also know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show is, there's power in numbers, and the positive change purchase incorporative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The positive change purchase incorporative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, also to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African and African-American women locally, nationally, and throughout the diaspora. Also to educate the African and African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts and climate change and the need for environmental education in the African and American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you join us on a regular basis. You also know the show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar and the HBCU Solar Radio Initiative, which you're listening over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming over iTunes. We can be heard on Facebook, X, and Link. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. And I'm your host, once again, Ron Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the call-in number for this show is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on to it in our living room and set you down and have a very interesting conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are always reaching out to try to get guests, and specifically African-American guests on this platform, to talk about what's going on in the world of renewable energy. And there are all aspects of this. But today we're blessed to have a gentleman by the name of Mr. Tony Henderson. And he's based out of Chicago, Illinois. But this brother is an international type of soul, because he's traveling all over the country and all over the world making things happen in the financing area of this renewable energy industry. But before I bring Mr. Henderson, Brother Henderson, to the airways, to this platform today, I want to sort of set the table and sort of talk about a little bit of some of the things that his organization is doing and about his company, and share a little background about his company. Imbalance is a global the recognized leader in sustainability and renewable energy consulting, engineering, and construction. He was founded in 2009, Imbalance is a consulting and design build service company headquarters in Chicago. Imbalance provides a broad range of facility-related services in the industrial and commercial sector with the core knowledge that turnkey performance delivery capability and facility energy audits, building MEP systems, efficiency engineered power solutions, project management, lead and ESG consulting, and renewable energy solutions. Our core services in which they provide are full-service renewable engineering and design build services, wind, solar, geothermal, EV, and hydronetics. ESG, energy sustainability, and governance consulting include strategy, monitoring, and reporting, SBA 504, green loan energy assessment program, financing, tax incentives, rebates, and grant consulting, indoor air quality consulting, engineered power solutions, including power factor corrections, building electrical systems modeling, including arc flash and short circuit analysis, retro commission REX, demand side energy management, and factory floor optimization, project management, lead and Energy Star Consulting, mechanical systems optimization integration, durable frequent drives, HDL fans, smart tips, energy management systems, and building optimization. Now, their mission is the as a sustainable global universal transforming ambitious and aggressive plan of actions in countries and the UN system, global corporations, small business owners, service providers, and even individuals who participate and add value in the new clean energy economy. The agenda is the most comprehensive blueprint to date for eliminating extreme poverty, reducing inequity, and protecting the planet while also bringing prosperity through responsible growth initiatives. Significant resources in the form of technical loans, rebates, incentives, credits that have been made available to our clients, which will enable them to become good stewards of the environment, moreover, prosper through responsible growth and initiatives. Imbalance is the leading edge of this new clean global economy and prepared to bring our knowledge and measurable value to our clients one project at a time. Well, brother, you out here doing it, and with that being said, welcome to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact, Mr. Henderson.
Good afternoon, Ron. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about one of the things, all the things that we see happening and all the opportunities we see out there.
Well, Tony, I understand that. I had the privilege of meeting you here in Washington, D.C. last year at a energy summit day that was held at the U.S. Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C. And you said, well, look, man, there's a whole lot of moving parts going around here, but this is what I do. We have the money, we have the financing, and that's what we do. And it took us a minute to connect, but we've been able to reconnect, and that's a very good thing. And I'm proud to say that the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative and the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which I'm the sitting president, through my firm, Positive Change, we've entered into a partnership agreement, affiliate partnership agreement with Imbalance. With that being said, Tony, what do you see are some of the impediments of getting more of our young people exposed to this area of financing and the things? Because I know as you move around the country and you move in and out of these boardrooms and you see in these deals, I know Slim left the building 2 weeks ago and none didn't show up for work. So what is the exposure opportunities for our young people in this arena? And what can we do to try to get more of our young people into this area and get them focused on this on the long term?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Ron, and thanks again. You know, if we're going to focus our conversation on workforce development and the opportunities associated with the renewable energy push that's happening in the United States and globally, then I think we should focus on some of the new jobs that are being created in the United States, whether they be solar installation jobs, battery installation for solar batteries, and grid management services, actually the learning how to program the software on those batteries so that there can be a give and take, a flow between the solar system on a residential or commercial entity and the grid, and how to maximize the profit in that. And that's where we focus on, that imbalance in our strategic partnerships around the United States. We're proud to have a partnership with you, which you announced, is that one of the things that imbalance we focus on is making sure our stakeholders understand the entire revenue stream of a renewable energy project. By that, I mean, and take solar, for example, most people in the solar industry don't understand the economics behind it and therefore don't develop the appropriate workforce development program to maximize the opportunities associated. And that's one of the things that we're trying to make sure we align. For example, on a solar plus storage project, a solar project that incorporates a battery on it, so you have the ability to store extra power, use it later, or sell it to the grid. In the progressive states that are on the front end of energy policy, 84% of revenue on solar plus storage projects comes from battery and grid services. 16% of it actually comes from the solar panels and selling the batteries and putting the racking system on the house. But people have to realize that in solar plus storage, the real money, the real revenue stream is in grid management services. And we need to begin to set up our workforce development strategies, not only for the solar installation, but we need to also prioritize developing grid management specialists amongst the community. They can go get the really high-paying jobs, the jobs that will pay $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, and will be reliable and will be in the marketplace. That's one thing we're really trying to do, and we've associated ourselves with a couple of few cutting-edge workforce development programs across the United States, and we're really seeing a lot of interest at both the community college level, and the nonprofit level, and participating and driving and helping people get into these programs. And then these training programs also come with a stipend, yeah, so that they get paid to learn. They get paid to get a new skill. And so they're not just working for 3 or 4 weeks to get a certification. Now they're being paid to maximize the opportunities in the workplace. And we finance that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to cut you off because you're on a roll right now, but the Biden American Climate Corps is growing, and it's going to get bigger. I'm looking at an article. President Biden did not talk about it much in his State of the Union on climate change, but a wide range of state and union things that were addressed, but didn't mention the landmark climate bill, the Inflation Reduction Act by name, and did not devote much time or sentence on climate policy as a whole. But President Biden did bite the environmental climate news. However, the American Climate Corps, which is a core of young people that there are recruiting around the country. Now, what is sort of disturbing to me, Tony, is that the Democratic administration which is the Biden administration. Even though all these accomplishments with the funding going out around the country through the EPA, through the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, some $27 billion, and we know about the funding, we know about the monies, but the issue always comes down is how are we reaching our young people with this information? Now, I was just at a job fair put on here at Bowie State University. Mr. Antoine Thompson, who was the director of the Greater Washington Clean Cities Collaboration Group, worked with Mr. Javari Parker, who's their sustainability director, who I'm going to have in the very near future. Hopefully we'll be able to get an audience with him about finding out where they want to go at with Bowie State with their next steps of what they're doing on that campus. But the fact of the matter is they had people from state agencies and that type of thing. But when it got right down to the financing piece of this stuff, you had a few solar companies, but nobody's really talking to our people about becoming energy artists. I didn't see anybody mm-hmm. They had some people they're talking about becoming electricians for EV charging vehicle services. Matter of fact, a very dear friend of mine, Cheryl, her company was there, and she has a dynamic young African-American sister. She has an EV charging company. So that was there, but there was a lot of other clearly missing points when we began to talk about the opportunities in the financing area, especially when we begin to look at markets like Washington, D.C., and we get discussing the issue of renewable portfolio standard legislation and how lacking that is and what that means to our listening audience, because we'd like to make it plain on this show for our listeners. Each state has been required by law passed by the U.S. Senate has to submit a plan on how they're going to combat climate change through what they call renewable portfolio standard legislation. That means how much renewables will come in from energy generators such as from wind, solar, nuclear, hydronetics. And when we begin to look at that, and then when we break down and look at the cheapest forms of energy, because competing with the sun and the wind is real difficult, okay? And that's the bottom line. But when we begin to look at an area called the green energy credits, which the formation of green banks have come into play, my senator here in the state of Maryland, Senator Van Hollen, and the senator from Vermont, they introduced legislation, and it has gone in, been passing it in place, where they put $27 billion out here to jumpstart green banks. But when you begin to start mm-hmm. talking to our black banks around becoming the what we call the Property Assistance Clean Energy Program, it's called known as the PACE program. Mm-hmm. Why is it so difficult? If that's my question to you, Tony, because you are in this arena, why is it so difficult to talk to black bankers about considering to become involved in this green financing area, become a PACE bank in their region, and so we can get in the game? Because, I mean, it's $27 billion out here.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. Now, I don't have the end-all, be-all answer, but from what I've seen in my experience with dozens of,
that's what I want, brother, financial institutions. You know what I know in this arena.
Is that they don't have the knowledge still a green energy portfolio within their financial institution. I saw a report that said there are 2 million, upwards of 2 million job openings out there for energy sustainability experts, just the community sustainability experts in all around the United States. Just think about that. They're screaming for people to get expertise in these areas, but they're just not out there. And the people that do have the expertise are already working for the larger nonprofits or the larger financial institutions that are having to, you know, that have some ESG goals that they want to move money around. So that is an excellent opportunity, growth spot for young people to get an understanding of how the financing around these clean energy projects actually works and how you can go get the money from the Department of Energy or from the EPA. And, you know, in addition to that, Ron, you're well aware that the money just isn't sitting there for for-profit businesses to go capture. They have to get into a partnership with a community group, a nonprofit, has a university, and the partnership has to show what they plan to use that money for and how it further meets the goal that the grant money was set aside for. That's the most difficult thing I've seen so far, getting minority banks, getting minority clean energy businesses up to speed with the regulations, the requirements to actually go get the money. Okay? And, you know, hopefully with the partnership with organizations like yours, we can educate people on, okay, this is the grant process for this $10 million, or this is the grant process for this $80 million, or this is how you can go after this $220 million and help organizations across the United States. And we're doing that for hydrogen fuel projects in California, EV charging projects, EV conversion and training projects for buses and tow trucks in Chicago. So that's what I see out there, that there really is just a fundamental lack of knowledgeable people to really help this program take off. So I think you and I and our strategic partners will have to build kind of a supportive ecosystem. That's what I like what you do, where people can easily get to your website and understand, okay, this is the five-step process I have to go through. Okay, let me get on that.
Well, Tony, you know what's so disturbing to me? I mean, I'm looking at this Black History, it's Women History Month, and specifically, you know, I take my hat off to the sisters because they're out here. And what's so disturbing to me, they have all these conferences, but nobody's talking about renewable energy fields and careers. And I'm down at the Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C. this year at a summit. And they said, look, we have $100 billion here at the DOE. We need more African-American women entrepreneurs in this arena. Now, I'm looking at summits being held all over the country that's being put on by our Black women organizational groups, which is a good thing. But you don't see anything. Yeah, and we applaud it, but nothing's on the agenda talking about the IRA, Build Back Better. The billions of dollars of opportunities that are out there for these young entrepreneurs that are looking for these opportunities. And what's so sad about it, Tony, is that it's like, oh, okay, how do you break through and talk about these opportunities and connect the dots as to why we are always trailing, the little boy said, chasing our tails around here? Because you said something that was profound. It says you need to be able to identify a college or university, what we would call in the grant process, as a lead fiduciary somebody that this government's going to trust to send that money through to handle the management of that grant. And you have to have these established partnerships, whether it might be with the local county government, municipality government, and other nonprofits that are, and as you say, have specific designated projects to try and deal with bringing more renewable and sustainability projects to our community, whether it be community solar projects, whether it's rooftop solar projects, whether it's EV charging projects. There's so many different opportunities out here now, and I'm not talking about any of this stuff. I mean, I go and I listen, and it's very disheartening, because when you bring these issues up, it's like you're invading on their space. So how do we sort of change the narrative around this situation if our people aren't even having the conversation?
Yeah, no, great question. I can speak to what we've done as an organization and through our strategic partnerships with the Sustainable Community Partnership Network that's doing solar plus storage in low-income communities across the United States. You know, half the solar in Puerto Rico is us, half the solar in Washington, D.C. residential is us, 17 municipalities in California. What we're doing is reaching out to the smaller minority businesses and say, listen, we want to partner with you. And we have the capability, the ability to go get the government grants to fund what we want to do with you. If you care to join our partnership and become part of what we're doing, we can plug you into our grant cycling machine that's out there that gets hundreds of millions of dollars a year from the federal government, from state governments, from foundations to fund these types of programs. People just don't know that that organizations like us are out there. Typically, they have to go pay a grant writer who's going to write one or two grants for them. They're going to have to pay him or her $50,000 to $60,000 a year up front, and then hope they win a grant. And if they win the grant, oh, by the way, the grant writer gets 15% to 20% of it. And that's been the age-old process for going to get grants. So that system's been turned on its head with technology. And with certain platforms like ours, you partner with us, and for a one-time, one annual fee of $2,500, we will go out and with you identify all the federal, state, and foundation grants, incentives, and rebates that are associated with the projects that a municipality or a school district or a nonprofit or a small business owner wants to do, would like to perform, right? And then we help go get that money. So we found that not only do we give you the map, we walk the territory with you.
Right. Well, Tony, what you're saying in this process, because I went through this 2 years ago. It's 2024. I went through this in 2021. We went up the National Association of Blacks and Solar and Positive Change. We pulled together a collaborative federation of our companies. Mr. Will Shirley, who's based out in Jackson, Mississippi, with Sundial Solar USA. Tougaloo College was our lead fiduciary. We had a group by the name of Global Apprenticeships. They're a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Atlanta, and they basically have a contract with the Labor Department to place young people in jobs after they receive that two-year apprenticeship NAPSET certification. We have Mrs. Janelle Minifit from Columbus, Georgia. Her company is a solar installation design firm. Mr. Mark Davis here in Washington, D.C. with WDC Solar, and he has offices in Atlanta. He trades as Urban Solar there, but he has operations both in Georgia and the district because he originally founded WDC Solar in 2010 here, but he is based out of Georgia. And we also have from Maryland, NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis, who is a partner with Mr. Bob Wallace's company, Biff Energy out of Baltimore, Maryland. The day-to-day operation and president of the operation is Mrs. Cherie Brooks, who is a very dynamic system. We pull all these groups together. We went after a $19 million grant, which the pool of money came out of the Department of Commerce. It was $500 million. That $500 million had 529 applications, just to reinforce what you just said, Tony. We had to end up paying a grant writer $8,500 just to write the grant. That ain't got nothing to do. That's just for something you might win. After you win that grant, then you got to pay somebody to manage that grant and all of the who's going to be the HINC in charge in this process after you leave the judiciary. Which actually ended up having to end up being the law. I mean, it really got crazy. And I saw from that experience that I'd never get caught up in that again. And before, now, the sad part about this, Tony, is out of $500 million that went out the door, only, and we had eight HBCUs that had submitted 11 different development training cohorts to be funded. Only two were in energy, North Carolina A&T and Tougaloo College, who was our lead fiduciary. But A&T had partnered with Duke Energy and Siemens Energy. Well, we know who they are. They're two of the largest powerful utility corporations on planet Earth. So what does that do to grow black and our African-American firms? That was what my pet peeve was about. We have to grow our companies. As president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, when you, and these are not my numbers. This is put out by it's called the Solar Foundation, that takes our tax dollars, that tracks the employment numbers in the solar industry, under the Solar Industry Trade Association, SEIA. We got over 13,000 solar renewable design firms doing business in the U.S. We got less than 50 African-American firms in all 50 states. So when we began to look at this, and then we look at the Justice 40 Initiative, which Biden signed Executive Order 14006 and 14096, that says 40% of the benefit must go to low and moderate income communities around this country. But if, as you said, Tony, don't have those collaborations already built in with labor, with some municipality, with some nonprofit who has proven track record with credibility in those communities, you're not going to be able to get these grants because they are providing a point system which was designed by a brilliant sister who founded a group called Emerald Cities. Now, her, and I'll think of the sister's name in a minute, her organization, she just appointed a younger sister to be the operational CEO, Dr. Denise Fair, I'll think of the last name in a second, but she's in Chicago. She originally is she's had law offices in Chicago, D.C., she's originally out of Oakland, Fairchild, Dr. Denise Fairchild. And dynamic sister, she's been out here on the forefront for the last 30 years. So she has the credibility. She goes and she testifies in front of the Senate subcommittees on energy. So she has those political contacts. Now, she was contracted by the Department of Energy through Shalonda Baker's, their operation, their Department of Equity, to do what they call a playbook, which the community playbook basically breaks down a point system that developers get if they want to come in and do a project in a lower priority communities, saying, hey, and this is not for you, Tony, because you know this is for our listening audience, saying, look, we have these African-American or Latino or Hispanic or Asian firms or white women firms, because they are considered minorities under their contracting law. That's a whole nother show. We won't go there. But the point that I'm making is these other ethnicities, Tony, even in the Hispanic community, they've made these connections. What is it about the African-American community, our mistrust of each other so hard that we can't get it through our heads? Ain't nobody going to save us but us. Can you respond to that question, my brother, please?
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, it's that the African-American mayors and business councils and chambers and businessmen and churches, they've had to scrape and claw to survive, particularly after COVID, and they know what they know. And so for them, they have limited budget and limited resources. So to tell them there's a big pot of money out here, go do X, Y, and Z and submit your application and then they might give you money, isn't something that really, you know, excites them. Now, if you have a program that can come in and show them how to do this, take that work off their plate and allow them to continue to do what they do best, which is outreach to the community. Yeah.
And give them a chance.
Well, we believe in inclusive growth. So in all our programs, everybody participates. The stakeholders participate. They're able to generate revenue long term on all our projects. So if you're a low to moderate income household that wants to go solar, there's, for example, in one of our programs, there's no money down, no credit check, never any lien. We own the system. We do the insurance. We make sure it's taken care of. You're guaranteed a discount against your local provider, and you can get paid off of grid management services when you sell power back to the grid. The programs, these people are eating off the entire process that we're bringing to the community. And then, you know, we finance it with some really unique ways. It's a combination of tax equity marketplace play, where people who want to buy tax credits from solar systems in low-income communities fund these programs up front. It's a mixture of the Inflation Reduction Act and the Trump Opportunity Zone bill, which allows for investment in these opportunity zones that really has some advantageous tax qualities to it. That's one of the reasons why the Opportunity Zone legislation has been so attractive to so few African-American mayors and business owners, because they're the ones taking advantage of it, but more should be able to take advantage of it, okay? Then you bring into that a mixture of grants and rebates and incentives program, which really should make the program sting. And then on top of that, what most people don't know is that in 48 states, there are laws on the books. If you're a municipality or a large nonprofit and you do an energy efficiency program where you get a licensed government energy auditor, which goes back to the workforce development piece we started with, but you get your project certified beforehand by a licensed government IRS insurance energy auditor, any findings, any energy savings that we save, so if a municipality was spending $1 million on energy and your energy efficiency will save them 30% or $300,000 up front, the federal government and the state will write a check for 15 times the yearly savings to help the municipality, school district, nonprofit actually do the project. They'll pay for it up front.
Red light. How do we get this information to the ears of the people who need to hear it? Because it's mind-boggling to me, as president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar, to go to these venues, to go to these various things, and, you know, people look at me like, why are you here? And when I tell them what I'm doing, then, you know, especially folks don't look, their mouth drop, and they say, whoa. I said, the issue is, you come into our communities, talking about, for example, Washington, D.C., energy recs of energy credits, and what that means for our listening audience, if you have a solar system on your roof, and when the sunlight hits those panels, it generates what they call direct current from the sun, DAC. And then it goes to a converter, and it converts that DC to AC, which operates the home and all of the appliances and everything else that's required by that home. But for that energy that is not used that day, because we have in a part of the system something called smart meters. That means those meters can read and account for that energy that was not used, and that meter turns backwards, and it is credited to that local utility company. Well, those credits, 1,000 kilowatts of energy in the district of D.C. composes a kilowatt hour. It takes 1,000 kilowatts to make 1 kilowatt hour. They are trading for $400 on the REX market and commodities market every day. Is more money being paid for the sale of these credits than it is in the whole industry. But when you get to talking about that aspect of the business, people get real quiet, because that's when the investors come to the table with the green banks and they can put their money in and get their money off the top. So people come in and tell people, oh, yeah, we'll put the system on your roof. We'll take all the RECs. We'll take all the tax credits. And it's an issue of educating our people, saying, hey, don't go about it that way. If you got it, if you live inside the district, it's worth you. If you got to take a small equity loan on the house to put the system on, and you own the system from day one, and you take advantage of the tax, 30% federal tax credits, and these RECs. How do we get out to our community? Because the installation firms ain't gonna tell them that. I get this all the time. I get these calls all the time. And so I have on my listed under our news and events tab, we have an article that addresses that, telling people how to go about the process of making good decisions. Get smart about solar basics for homeowners considering rooftop panels. It all says there's an excellent article that was done by Kayla Benjamin, which is a young Jewish white girl who writes for the Washington Informer newspaper here in Washington, D.C., and she does an excellent job in doing these type of articles and interviewing homeowners. So I want to let people know that they can log on to positivechangepc.com. You'll be able to hear this very exceptional interview by this treasure trove of knowledge, Mr. Tony Henderson, here on this platform, and this will be available as soon as we go off the air. Tony, I've already taken you over 30 minutes of your time, brother. I said I would have you for a half an hour, but we're like 2:48. So I'm like, I got like 12 minutes left in this show. Is there anything you want to share with our listening audience in with your closing comments? And I want to thank you for taking time from your very, very busy schedule to join me on this platform. And believe me, you will not be a stranger to this show.
Well, I'm delighted to do it. And I think these are the type of things we need to talk about if we really want to make sure that the energy transition, that low-income minority communities just don't end up being customers to another company, but can actually take advantage of what's happening. And know the game, there's transparency, so they can actually negotiate strong contracts. And that's one of the reasons why we're really proud of our new strategic partnership with you and your associated entities, because I think that's a wonderful platform to begin to get this knowledge out. I mean, I'm sure you have done the research. You probably have a list of the 50 minority solar companies, African American solar companies in the United States. Yeah.
Well,
and so maybe
I'm sort of flooding it. I'm hoping there's somebody out there I don't know about. Because I don't even have 50, man. I mean, this thing.
Then we start
I'm
there.
I'm glad I'm certain that you don't have no hair, because if I was a young person, I could be concerned about this issue, but I can't let that take me out that way. My whole thing is, let me do what we can to get this knowledge out to our young people. And it's very, very unfortunate that folks over at Department of Energy in our nation's capital don't see the vision. As a matter of fact, they told me, well, we got a podcast. I said, well, you're not doing it the way I do it. So don't even worry about that. I was privileged to be notified by the company Feedstock that this podcast that you're on, I have the privilege of having you on, my podcast was ranked in the top 60. So I said, okay, no problem. I sort of put the email to the side. Wait a minute. I put it to the side. So I said, well, let me go back and open this email and see what it is. So I opened up the email and clicked and found out we were number 6 in the nation. We're not in the top 60. We're in the top 10. This
You're
show
top
is 10 ranked.
In the nation.
We are number 6. We have the leading rank podcast reaching African Americans in this country, and you're on that platform right now. And for someone at the department, I hope y'all listening, tell me that this isn't important enough for y'all to write a check. That's a joke, and it surely is not funny. With $125 million over at Department of Commerce for technical assistance, so we're working very, very hard. Because we're getting ready to take this platform and move it into a online digital network where we'll be doing this podcast via a streaming on YouTube. And when I do my interviews with my guests, they'll see me, I'll see them. It'll still be a podcast, but we'll be able to reach a whole lot more people with this platform, because brother, the information that you have provided our community today is actually invaluable, because there's not that many Tony Hendersons in the United States of America, brother.
thank goodness, and you're
at the top of your game. So I want to thank you, brother, for taking time to join me today on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
It's my pleasure. And any other minority towns, municipalities, school districts, businesses, nonprofits, please reach out to Ron, and he can get in touch with me, and we'd be happy to help. Happy to help. Okay?
Well, brother, thank you for what you do. I know you were in D.C. this morning. I know you're back on the ground in Chicago. Thanks to the creator, you had a safe flight. I'm glad that everything went well here. And we're going to stay at the grind, turning the mill, trying to make sure we got some flour and some meal to feed our folks. Because if we blow this, and this is why I connect this to the politics, folks have to understand that all of this investment that's coming through the executive order 14006, 14096, which gave rise to Build Back Better, Inflation Reduction Act. These are executive orders. If Biden does not get back in office, the GOP, known as the Gas, Oil, and Petroleum Party, they have vested interests of not moving us to the future of renewables, but to keeping us in the past with fossil fuels. And if you don't believe climate change is real, ask them folks about that 1.1 million acres that just burned in Texas. Okay? Seasons normally don't start this early. And for this kind of devastation to take place, and you can check on this near your your nearest grocery store, because you can look for the price of beef to skyrocket behind this stuff. Everything has a cause and effect, and we have to move away and get these CO2s out the air, or we're going to all need a vote. And on that note, brother,
yeah,
thank you very much, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You do.
All right.
Have a blessed day, Ron. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Brother, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Tony Henderson. He gave me almost an entire hour on this show. We have been able to get this interview in, and we want to share some other things with our listening audience before we go off the air today. Ladies and gentlemen, as I've indicated, each week we will do a short segment on the Corporate Transparency Act, which was passed in 2021. That is a federal disclosure act, which was introduced by Representative Curley Maloney out of New York. This bill was passed under the smoke screen that it was to go after illegal, illicit business operations that are laundering money to finance terrorism in the U.S. Case in point, when you drill down and do the research on this bill, you will find that all of the financial institutions, the banks, Security Exchange Commissions, the nonprofit organizations, 23 classes, and they control all the money in America. They all exempt. If you have gross receipts under $5 million a year and less than 20 employees, and you incorporated your business before January 1 of 2024, you have until January 1 of 2025 to, in fact, file the BOI report, which is required to be filed. The problem is you can go directly to the website, fincn.gov, and you can fill out that application online if you can get in. Problem, ladies and gentlemen, this legislation is disproportionately impacting women-owned businesses, 11 million non-employed businesses. There are 11 million white-owned businesses classified as paid employee businesses. In the minority communities, we have 10 million, 37% of those, and they have gross receipts, each one. The white-owned businesses for fiscal year 2022 was $345 billion. Minority women firms generated $307.9 billion. You put those two together, you have almost $670 billion on the line that this law is impacting these companies. When I contacted the U.S. Census Bureau to get and drill down on more research, we found out that this is composed of 70.4 million freelancers. We live in a gig economy. Things have changed. 9.6 million of these are young professionals. So these are the numbers that can determine who will be the next president. And on last week, the National Small Business Association had a lawsuit that a federal judge in Alabama struck this Corporate Transparency Act down as being unconstitutional, but it only impacts the 60,000 members nationwide that are members of the National Small Business Association. So it is still incumbent upon us to fight this thing and get the information out. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to another close of another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And as we say every week, we don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on America. And don't forget who brings you this show every week is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African and African-American renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses, develop capacity and initiatives for these renewable energy projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African and African-American men and women locally, nationally, and throughout the diaspora, also to educate the black community about the economic impacts on climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through black talk radio programs such as our podcast, such as Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. Until next week, we want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here. As we always close, please go in peace as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. Your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it?